Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl.
Hey guys, welcome back to season 2, episode 1. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Daryl. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. It's been a little bit since our last podcast. We took a little break to regroup and take some R&R.
R&R. What does that stand for?
A little R.
R.
It's a pirate.
We're pirates now.
It's a pirate term. Yeah.
Okay.
It's what the pirates say.
And we have a little special guest here today, don't we?
We do.
Who's this guy?
Who are you?
Jace.
Jace. Who do you belong to, Jace?
Just in case the people are wondering, who are you pointing to?
Mama.
It's Mama.
Jace's mom is in the audience. Jace's mama is my daughter, Jasmine. You can't see her. She's off camera. But this is my oldest grandson. Some of you guys may have remembered me mentioning him in season 1, episode 1 of the podcast. And we even talked about how he loves Snapchat and playing with all those Snapchat filters. So, Jace, how's your summer been so far? You're on break from school. What have you been doing?
Playing
what?
Swimming.
Well, swimming.
Not going to the water park.
I like how he stares at mom.
I know.
What do you like to do in the water park?
Go on all the rides.
You're not afraid of any of the rides? Wow.
You're super brave. What's up with the plaid shirts? It's like we planned it or something.
It's Cowboy Day.
It's Cowboy Day.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Right, Cowboy Day. Even Lady Llama's got a cowboy hat on. She must have got the memo.
Is it Cowboy Day?
It's not Cowboy Day, but you know what? We're doing a little duel in podcasters later in
the
show.
We are.
Yeah. Our special guests are the EduTech guys, and they are our podcast inspiration, I have to say. But we'll be talking to them a little bit later. And for now, Daryl, tell me anything you did on vacation. Please tell me you did something. Because I went to ISTE for work, right?
Yeah.
It was a great time. It was in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Got lots of photo opportunities with some really great people that we love. Who was it? Casey Bell, Leslie Fisher, Jake Miller, Josh from GimKit, and Neff from Screencastify. Selfies with every single
one of
them.
Those are all such big names.
Big names in EdTech.
We got to see these selfies. You could probably just telling us this.
They're on Twitter. Just follow
Twitter.
Me on Twitter.
On
you'll,
Twitter.
You'll see the selfies. But what did you do? Did you do anything else fun?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I had a couple of weeks to play around to pursue one of my many passions.
Oh, this isn't your only passion.
No, I've got many.
Oh, many passions.
My passion here, what I practice, is learning dueling banjos on the ukulele. Hit me!
What?
Yes. So Lily and I, actually, we practiced and practiced and practiced, and we learned this song. For our viewers out there.
Well, I knew Lily was working on something because she kept sneaking off in the middle of the night. I'm like, Lily, where are you going? She's like, I got stuff to do. And she was always wearing that cowboy hat, so I was a little curious.
Yeah, we Zoom conferenced and we practiced.
Awesome. So well, let's hear it. What'd you guys come up with?
You ready? You ready, Lily? Dueling banjos or dueling ukes.
I'm ready.
Here we go. I'm kind of nervous, but let's see how it goes. High one.
We're a little confused on that. But what's so cool about Lily is she's gotten so good at this ukulele, she's even cut her own album.
Does she?
Did you see it?
And
she even
I think it. I was the inspiration
I think
for that.
You
I had to kind of force her out of her shell there, out of her wool.
You helped her to pursue a passion
yes.
that she didn't even know she
yes.
had.
Yes, she's great.
She is great. What'd you think about it? Lily or Daryl? Which one was the better one?
Daryl.
Oh.
Daryl. You're Team Daryl, I'm Team Lily.
I'll give you a
although point. Lily's a little bit of a self-promoter today with that.
Kind of Lily. Kind of Dale.
Okay, so at least you're fair. That's good. I'll take that.
I feel like we need to play a clip later for the EduTech guys and let them be deciding.
Okay, yes, rock, paper, absolutely.
Scissors, and whoever wins, I pick.
Ooh, rock, paper, scissors, ready?
No, you
and him. Me and him?
And so you're Lily.
I never get it right, but I'll try it, okay?
Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Oh my gosh, look at that. We're in sync here. I lost.
Bam! Lily's the winner. What a great problem solving.
Oh, there you go. I'll take that.
Activity.
It was fair.
Rock, paper, scissors. Uh-huh. You can't go wrong with that. Okay, so that's awesome. We will be talking to the EduTech guys in a few more minutes, right after this commercial break. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have how many subscribers on YouTube now, Daryl?
On YouTube? 30-something.
Like, 34. We just need 35. If we could just get 35, that would be amazing. 35 subscribers on YouTube.
Well, subscribe just because Jace is here, right?
Yeah.
You want to see more of Jace, subscribe. Yeah.
We'll even send you a button if you comment or let us know that you subscribe. Okay?
Now so we'll be right. Making videos too.
Ah, he's going to be making his own videos.
Then now he's competition.
Okay. He's going to start his own podcast. Him and Lily are taking this on the road. Okay, so we'll be right back with the EduTech guys. Stay tuned.
You can find all things related to the Connect EdTech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connect EdTech promos, and Flipped in 5 Tech Tips.
Hey guys, we are back, and as promised, we've got the EduTech guys all the way from Arkansas here with us today. We've got Dave and Jeff, otherwise known as
Chuck and Larry.
Chuck and Larry. Depending on where you are and how they're feeling at the moment. Care. So we're just going to get started by letting them introduce themselves to us.
I'll go first. Hey, I'm Jeff. It's usually David, but you know. I'm Jeff Madlock, and glad to be here. I'm from Hope, Arkansas, and my co-host is this guy.
Yeah, I'm David Henderson. I'm up here in Prescott, Arkansas.
Awesome. We're so glad to have you here with us. So before we get too far into this, one thing I would mention, and we mentioned in our introduction, is that you guys are podcasters and have been doing this for a long time, and specifically focused on educational technology, which is our passion as well. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all of that fun stuff about podcasting, we would like to talk about how we first met you. Now, this is Daryl's first time meeting you, but I've met you before. So can you guys kind of walk through what that was like on your end, and then I'll tell my version.
So we were heading out of Chicago at ISTE in 2018 or mm-hmm. I don't know whatever the year was.
So
everything passes. We're heading out, and we're at the airport standing in line, and Jeff and I both sporting our EduTech guys shirts, and if I remember correctly, and your version may differ slightly. I think we were behind you guys, and I think you just turned around and started asking us about the podcast. You had said something about that you were interested in starting a podcast, and next thing we know, you know, we're swapping emails and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm pretty sure we talked the entire time up until the TSA separated us. I mean, it doesn't sound as bad as it well.
See, I remember it completely differently. I remember I was smuggling some parakeets and a lot of tchotchke from ISTE. And I was really concerned the TSA was going to bust me. So that's about the only thing I remember.
So. Smuggling parakeets. Wow. Yeah. It just
illegal
took us
birds
to a whole
in this
new level. Okay. Well, my version is a little bit slightly different. I remember getting a little bit harassed by the TSA attendant in the line because I had too many bags. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
And you guys were behind me, and you came to my rescue, and you're like, man, they just want to exercise some control, don't they? And then we started talking, and we found out we were going home from the same conference, and that's how we got to know you and started following you on Twitter, and the rest is history.
Yep. And that shows you how big ISTE is. We were at the whole conference and we met on the way out in the airport line.
Right before the shoot check.
That's not the story she told me, but we'll stick.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. We got an email from her last week and I was like, David, who's this? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
That hurt. Right here.
No, I'm sorry. I feel bad because we were supposed to be on the show a long time ago, and through all kinds of stuff, we didn't make it. So we're glad to be here now.
Well, I'm glad you're here too, and I know Daryl is. I've been wanting to do this for a really long time, and I have to say, when I met you guys, and Eric was with me returning from that trip to ISTE, when I met you, that was sort of the catalyst for me to kind of just make it happen and start doing some stuff. So thank you for that. You've been my podcast muses and maybe didn't even know that. So I appreciate it.
You're the inspiration.
Wow, thank you.
No.
You want to bust out a song?
It's too much.
Chicago, isn't it? Chicago, I think so.
Yes.
So Windy City. So tell us a little bit about your background in education and kind of leading up to what you're doing now.
You want to go first, David, or you want me to go? I'll go.
Go ahead, man. Go for it.
So I was a band director for 15 years. I was hired first as a band director, and they came to me and they said, hey, we understand you have a computer science degree. Would you like to be our tech coordinator? And this was in the 1860s. So it was way back when we first started tech. I'm kidding. It was in the 90s. But they asked me to be the tech coordinator also while doing marching band and jazz band and all that kind of good stuff. So I said, sure, I'll do it. After about 15 years of that, I left the band department and I'm a full-time tech coordinator. So at that same time, I started teaching workshops at our local educational service agency, the Southwest Arkansas Educational Cooperative. And that's how I got into this business. I've stayed in it. I've been through Linux, Windows, Macs, Chromebooks, EEPCs, iPads, you name it. We've touched a little bit of everything in our line of work. So that's my story. I'll let David tell you his.
I actually came into it from the tech side of things when I was, okay, now this is going to really age me, I know. Back in 1982, Commodore 64s were like the thing. Uh-huh. I was in about eighth grade and, My parents so graciously forced me not to eat, and then I bought a Commodore 64. And from there, fast forward, I actually started with a computer science program that I was going to try to do, but you know, a degree, but that really didn't work out. Just going to throw this out there for all the folks that are maybe interested in pursuing computer science. There's a lot of stuff that really has nothing to do with anything that they make you take. So just be aware of that. I fast forward to graduating and then I eventually found my way to Arkansas and worked for a university in their tech department. And then soon after that was recruited by the education service agency in a different town from where I work now. Started as their tech person. And so that's what I was primarily, was a tech person. About a month or so into my position, my boss comes to me and says, oh, by the way, you're going to be teaching teachers how to use technology. I'm like, I've never taught anybody how to do anything. What are you talking about? And so that's kind of how I came into it. It was kind of the baptism by fire. And I was awful when I first started out. I hope I'm not as awful now. Have really grown into education technology position to get to, you know, kind of where I am now. Fully embraced, and it's a lot like what Jeff said, you know, we've been through, you know, Linux and NetWare and Windows and, you know, all of the techie side of things. More shifting to, okay, so that's all great, but how do you actually use it in the classroom with the students? And that's why I'm so glad things are where they are now. We're finally at a place where the technology has really caught up and kind of surpassed the things we can do with it for our students.
That's amazing. I agree with that. I was hearing you guys both had very different ways that you got into this. The band thing struck me as interesting because Daryl and I both have a band background. I
think. 1 year of the clarinet in fifth grade.
And music, yeah. So starting with that, Jeff, can you just tell us a little bit about how you could see band or even the fine arts embracing educational technology in their own classrooms? What are some things that they could do to kind of integrate and implement that with what they do. I mean, I think they sometimes think that it's not relevant to them, but I see that it could be.
It's actually super relevant. You know, the band has actually been on the cutting edge of technology for a long time. They use programs like Finale and Pi-ware to write their drill and do their music. What's really changed is when we were in college, we didn't have YouTube. So when I started playing jazz or symphony work, I could only rely on the records that were in, say, the university library to actually just listen to someone perform, say, the Shostakovich, or listen to Miles Davis and his combo play. And now kids have this amazing ability to go out to YouTube and pretty much find anything they're looking for, so they can see how it's presented to them, so they can actually play along with that video. And there are so many applications now that are even cloud-based that can work on a Chromebook. One of our that we like, Soundtrap, is a wonderful recording device that kids can record themselves. They can collaborate with their other students in the band and create recordings from seven different sites if they want to. We see band directors using it a lot to show kids the actual notes and the actual pitches in a rehearsal. And we actually see kids rehearsing with music. Finale and a lot of those groups use that. UIL in Texas, their stuff is always in Finale and several other programs. And when the kids are auditioning to, say, play Allstate or solo and ensemble, they actually have the music in front of them, and they can play along with the piano, or they can play along by themselves, or they can play with a full group. And that's just... that's amazing. That gives students this ability that none of us in the past had until we were actually performing live. So that lets a student really hear their voice and know that, you know, they can do something and they can fit into a group really easily. And how easy it is to play music. I think it's changed everything we do about music education. I'm really excited. My wife's still a junior high band director, so I get to keep my finger in the pulse of what's going on. And she's in Texas, so I get to see what happens in UIL and things like that. And that's really amazing. And think of what we see now with marching bands and electronics and digital displays and what's happening on the field. It opens up so many new avenues for kids to realize they have so many avenues in music. It's not just playing the music. It's being the camera operator, or creating the graphics, or doing the drill, or writing the music and the graphics of the program. Just really cool stuff. I could go on and on. I guess you can tell that. So.
That's okay. Yeah. You're passionate.
So keep going.
Other than that, he has no opinion. Yeah.
No, other than that, I have. But you know, that's what David and I, what happened with us is we started this as EduTech guys, and we realized that that's really what technology is about. It's about voice. It's what it did for all of us. It's what it did for you. It's what it's done for all the educators that use it. Is it gave us a different voice. Even before we had YouTube, or before. Now, David and I, we remember the days of 54K circuit lines when we could download an MP3 in 4 hours, and we were really excited to download an MP3 in 4 hours.
Remember those days?
Yeah, but we remember we were coding HTML on the very first Netscape. That's how old we are. So, but that was the ability to get our voice out there and to find other educators and other musicians and other coders and other, gardeners and other people like us. And that's what it's what makes us all passionate about it. And like David said, now we're at this point where technology has caught up with us. I remember putting Windows 95 machines three at a time in primary school classrooms and giant CRT monitors and, the CPUs. And if the power just glitched for a second, you lost the whole hard drive and you had to reformat. And it was so hard to keep up with that. And now we're, pulling out Chromebooks, taking the plastic off of them, handing them to kids and go to town. And we don't have to deal with, updating software and the tech guy has to come and, have to do all this work. Now it's just, let's get to the point of education. Let's get to the point of learning. I hope one day we change the name from education to just learning. That's what it is. I mean, that's what we do. It's just learning. So that's where I agree with David wholeheartedly. He probably has something to add to that. So I'm going to shut up for a second and let him talk.
I'm gonna go back to kind of what you were talking, what you were touching on in terms of music and technology and education. I have no idea what Jeff's opinion is on what I'm about to say, but I know there's a huge kind of division in a way among musicians in terms of how much technology is too much technology. And if I have a device, an iPad, an iPhone, or whatever device it happens to be, and I can replicate the exact same notes and sounds and reverb and everything else that you can get out of, you know, the acoustic guitar hanging behind Jeff on the wall, you know, is that an instrument? Is it not an instrument? And I think we kind of can sort of get wrapped up into those kinds of things. But in terms of education and the students, by putting these devices in their hands, they can play, you know, nearly any instrument in the world. At least they can replicate the sound from those that perhaps they may never have access to ever. You know, Daryl said, you know, earlier, and I can't remember if that was off camera or not, so forgive me, but you talked about who you had played the clarinet, right? So that, you know, the students who don't have access to that, they could still, air quotes, play the clarinet using the app. They can still right. understand how it sounds, you know, what they can and can't do with that. What can you, you know, in what ways can you push those limitations? And I think those are the kinds of things that technology really brings to education, is helping students, as Jeff said, helping students find their voices in many different ways. And I think music is a great way to do that across all of the curriculum.
I love that you mentioned that about using the apps to play, because the intro to this particular podcast, we did a little dueling ukuleles, basically. And Daryl learned how to do the dueling banjos song on the ukulele. And then Lily, our llama here, she also learned as well. So they had a little dueling ukuleles going on. But my first thought was, before Lily decided she wanted to get some skin in the game, my idea was to get an app on my phone, and I would be dueling banjos with Daryl using my phone. But the pitch wasn't the same, like the key wasn't the same. So that was kind of the hiccup there for us. But that's exactly where my head went as well. So I appreciate that you mentioned that.
But the cool part is that you realize that the pitch wasn't the same and all that kind of good stuff. You're in the wrong key. Mm-hmm. But immediately, if you'd had time, and you might have done this anyway, you used the net or you used an app to find the answer to it.
Right.
And that's the really right. cool part that's happening. You know, we talk about, David made a good point. So I believe that it takes talent to do whatever you do. I'm not an artist, but thank goodness for Canva and Adobe Spark and things like that. I can turn out some pretty decent, you know, graphics and some decent art. And that's the thing that's always going to be there. We're going to know those influencers when we see them, and we're going to know those students who excel. The tool of tech is what helps them excel even faster and excel even farther. And then they become that peer support that helps the other students start to look for their passions. And I think that's the key part of what's happening here. You know, it's funny, you said you played the clarinet, and I remember when I joined sixth grade band, I wanted to be Stephen Saunders. And you're like, who's Stephen Saunders? Well, he was a high school trumpet player, and I thought he was the coolest cat in the world, and he was the greatest trumpet player ever. And you can probably look back in your life, and you can remember that one student, he or she, that really, really influenced you and helped you decide, I want to be like that. I want to do that. Well, now we're building student influencers at the local level. Just huge numbers of them. We're creating them. We're growing them in the classrooms, which is just breeding learning like wildfire. I think that's really what's exciting about all of it.
That's a good way to put it. I just need to think back. Yeah, there are people who inspired me to play the clarinet and the ukulele.
Go ahead, Dad.
This is slightly off topic, but I just want to say I'm very impressed that Lily picked up the ukulele, because did she not just like graduate, you know, kindergarten or preschool something recently?
I mean, she was from
Australia. She's a prodigy.
She was the top of her class, might we?
I know she was the top 25%. If I remember.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, he did his homework.
We can start doing our own.
We got a little dueling. Yeah. Yeah.
I did my homework.
So, I played the clarinet too, like middle school and high school, and I had a band director. It's kind of interesting what Jeff was saying. I had a band director who had a jazz band too on the side, and so we had different students be in the jazz band, and I wanted to play. There was no clarinet. So I'm like, I need to be in this jazz band. I want to do this. He's like, until you can play, like, was it Benny Goodman or something like that? He says, I'm calling him out because he'll watch this podcast. he keeps up with it. I was like, he said, until you can play like Benny Goodman, you can't be in the jazz band. So, yeah.
Does that mean? How'd that go?
He wasn't real. He influenced me, but I don't know if it was in a good way.
It's funny you bring that up, though, because, you know, there's that side of influencing, too. You know, who are the folks that influence you? I don't want to say negatively, but sometimes it's that push that, you know, sometimes when students are told they can't do something, they're like, oh, you just wait and see.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is every time. You know, and I think that's what, and so I'm going to shift gears on you. That's what actually got us into this podcasting. That's what got us at conferences doing live interviews. As you can tell, we love to talk and we love to hear stories and we love to hear educational journeys. And that's kind of our influence. It's not about numbers of listeners. It's not about money. It's about people telling
it's
their stories.
Not about money.
But it's about people telling their stories so that they can influence someone else to start a podcast, try Flipgrid, to try, you know, I throw out all these names because that's what we see. And then we see these people, you know, move to a certain platform and they love it. And there's no reason not to share that platform because it's going to work for somebody. It's like Juice Plus or it's like Weight Watchers or anything else. You know, you're going to find your passion and you're going to find what works for you. And it's so great to have so many available opportunities now to find that passion. That's a really big deal. And I think that's why we started this whole thing. That was the first thing we ever did was a Corwin Institute conference. And we did 2 days. We did about 20 hours. We interviewed, oh my gosh, 45, 50 people. And mm-hmm. we realized that we love it because for us, we were getting these micro sessions in 15-minute shots all day long. And at night, I can only tell you, it was like I had just played a 4-hour symphony on the bass and I just had to lay down because I was physically and mentally drained. But afterwards our brains are just going 90 to nothing because we've heard all this wonderful right. stuff. Yeah. And that's what you're doing. That's what all podcasters are doing. We're making sure people have this instant available. Give me some of the good stuff, you know, right now, let me hear it. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Just kind of piggybacking on the podcasting thing, it's not a new thing. It's been around for quite a while, but it seems like, man, it's on fire in education right now. So from that perspective, your perspective with education, how do you see it benefiting people just listening to them, number one? And then number two, if they were like you and like us and they wanted to start their own, why should they even do it?
So let me touch on a couple of things right there. First of all, in terms of what are they going to get out of it and or what can they do with it? One of the things that we love to share with educators is that even if you don't necessarily want to be the one on the air, right? A lot of people with any recording going all the way back to when recordings first started, right? You record yourself, you hear it back, and you go, that is not the way I sound whatsoever, right? So there's a lot of people who like to shy away from it. But what I suggest is using it in your classroom, letting your students get a hold of it. And it can start out with something, you know, as simple as having your students do the weekly school news, you know, in elementary education, where you have certain teachers where they provide kind of the words of the week, or they're doing a word wall, just have your students read it instead of, or in addition to, not instead of, but in addition to, you know, posting on Facebook or however else you get the word out, get them recording it, putting it out there. I like to say that podcasting in education has several layers to it. Teachers can do podcasting for other teachers. So you are providing tips and hints and experiences that you've been through, and you're sharing those with other educators. It can be teachers working for their students. So the teachers have a lesson that they put out there, that they've done in class, and as a podcast, then either take the audio from the lesson that they did or have supplemental audio that they're putting out. And that's a recurring thing. That's one of the things about the cast part of podcast is it's got to be recurring, and that can be weekly, it can be monthly, however often it is, but it needs to, you know, be a recurring thing. So they can share that information with students. Likewise, the teachers can reach out to the parents. And so it's a way to get that community involvement, community interaction, let the parents know what's going on. And then the extension is the students can use it in a way to have the students working with other students. So you have things like book talks where you have older students talking about the books that the younger students are reading. You have things where students are creating their own, I don't know, radio skits that they do. Maybe they're studying, I don't know, Macbeth. And so everybody gets a part. Some people want speaking parts, some people want production parts, you know, what have you, but you can go from there. And so many different aspects of podcasting that the students and teachers and really anybody that wants to jump into it can just start. And I mean, really, you just get a microphone. You know, a lot of people think you have to have these big setups, like you see what Jeff and I have, we see what you have, but this right here, I got a device in my hand, it's got a microphone. Guess what? Boom, I put an app and now I'm podcasting.
Yeah, anchor.fm. We're going to throw that one out there. We found that one a few years ago. Awesome, free. It's great sound. It's got great features. There's a ton of them out there. You just search podcasting platform and you're going to find tons and tons out there. I'm sorry. I was taking notes there because when David talks, sometimes I get ideas. And so, I wanted to add to that. So you ask about, you know, where do you see podcasting? Why is it so popular? It's because we're listeners. That's the first thing we've always done. However long you want to say Homo sapiens have been walking the face of the planet, we listen, we tell stories, and that's what we do. And those create prompts for us. And those prompts lead us to research even farther what we hear. It also wants us to ask us, it create, I'm sorry, it makes us take that next story and create from that and to add on to that story and add our personal piece of that to the story. And that's why the kids like it. That's why the kids like rap. You know, it's interesting. I like rap. There's a lot of rap that I like. But you know, when we grew up with James Taylor and the songs of the 70s, it was a verse and then a chorus, and the chorus is what stuck. And it was always the chorus. In rap music, it's a story. It's a full length story. It's a poem. It's pure poetry. And the kids take that in, and then they live off of that. They take that into their lives and they move on. And that's why podcasts are catching on, because you listen and those key prompts stay in your brain throughout the day. And you find yourself searching them on the web and reading more and finding video to attach to what you just heard. That's why the kids like it. That's why I believe that the teacher needs to stand in front of the class and tell those stories and just listen. Let the kids close their eyes, use their imagination, and then educational technology. Then they get to go to the machine. They get to go to the tablet. They get to go to the drawing app, and they get to create what they've heard or find out more or build upon it. To me, that is the biggest part of what podcasting is about. That's why it's catching on with everyone, because it lets you build that sensory, that beautiful picture in your brain of what you want that to mean to you. To me, that's where it is.
I think you just get a bunch of teachers their next week lesson plan right there.
Well, and I think part of the reason why it's also really taken off is because it's so portable. You know, it's hard. I won't say you can't, but it's hard to watch a video while you're driving down the road versus.
Don't encourage that.
Right.
Oh, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it's hard.
Unfortunately, I see people do that. Yeah.
Challenge accepted. No, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
In some states, it's frowned upon.
It is.
Unless if you're in a self-driving car.
But what do you guys drive in Arkansas? Do you have cars there?
No, we have horses. I just started wearing shoes a couple of weeks ago. I'm just kidding.
We were finally able to put an actual bottom in Jeff's car. You know, before we had to
Fred Flintstone it. We're actually in L.A. It's Lower Arkansas.
That's right.
So that's where we're at. Right. I stole that from David, by the way. He used that all
awesome.
The time.
That's a good one. So we're kind of getting to the end of our interview with you guys, but I really appreciated what you were saying about, you know, the story piece of it. And one of the reasons we chose the name of our podcast, our the umbrella of what we do is Flipping Good Tech, but our podcast is Connect Ed Tech because of the connection piece. And what we found to be the most valuable thing of everything that we do, whether it's in our job or whether it's with this passion project, it's connecting to other people and building those relationships. So that was amazing. So as we kind of close out, Daryl, do you have any other questions you want to ask?
No, just... it's great to see you guys. Talking to you all.
You are so fun.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see you all at TCCA. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. We need to sit down all in the same place at the same time and just
throw a session
together.
We probably can make that happen because we talked to, you know, Justin Finasi's the guy that you've interviewed him before. And then I think Jake Miller's going to be there.
So we'll be there in the library, and we'll have our regular booth set up with all of our mics and everything. So you guys have got to come by and sit down.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely come see you. That's the TCCA conference in Aldine ISD here in Houston, Texas, October the 26th, I believe. It's a Saturday. And it's a good time. It's a free event. So anybody who's out there listening or watching, sign up. It's free, and they'll be there.
That's right.
So tell us how to get in contact. You can
come see all of us.
Yes, all of us will all be there. We will, because we're going to be presenting
in the same room.
Not in the same room.
Maybe.
That would be awesome, though. So tell us how people can get in contact with you, and also maybe some suggestions of people to follow, besides you guys and us, on social media.
Yeah, so to get in touch with us, easy. Just go to Google to type in EduTech Guys. We rock SEO. So, SSO. So, NSEO. So, yeah, this is it. Yeah, right? Acronym City. So, it's at EduTech Guys. Just find us on all social media, EduTechGuys. You can find us really easy. Just type it into Google and we're there. Yep.
Yeah. As far as other folks that we follow, I mean, there's a ton of them. We've got, there's like Kevin Honeycutt and Sir Ken Robinson, and of course you guys, and Dave Burgess, you know, the Teach Like a Pirate folks. Really, I think we try to follow as many educational folks as we possibly can. And I wholeheartedly recommend, you know, going out there. And in fact, I would recommend hitting up EduTech Guys, hitting up the, you know, Connected Ed Tech folks, the Flippin' Tech, and see who we are all following, and then go follow those people.
Yeah.
Great suggestion. Well, thank you so much. Guys are amazing.
Thank you guys so much. This was
thank
awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it was cool.
Time flies for having fun.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it does. It was cool being on this side of the microphone.
It's a little intimidating.
Yeah. It is a little intimidating.
All professionals. You bless us with your master class. So.
Yes, for sure. And Lily is inspired. She's going to start her own podcast.
That's awesome. Be sure to tune into that.
She's going to put us all
at
on
Lily Llama. Yes, she is. Awesome. Thanks,
all
guys.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right. And that's a wrap for Season 2, Episode 1. And next time, we'll see you on the Flipping Good Side of Tech.
Boom.